If you have questions for Dave and Tom to address in future broadcasts, later in this program, we'll let you know where to send them. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. In our next segment, Understanding the Scriptures, we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation, with our discussion centering on the identifying characteristics of the Messiah. Here again with Dave Hunt is T.A. McMahon.
Dave, in our ongoing discussion of the doctrine of salvation, we've been talking about the qualifications. Jesus is our Savior, and the Bible lays out certain qualifications that the Savior must fulfill.
Right.
And we're going through those just so people understand that, we've been talking about the Antichrist, we've been talking about false ideas, false religions, and so on, but the Bible makes it very clear who the Savior of the world has to be, the Messiah, the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the Savior of humanity must be God.
Or you're looking to somebody less than God to save you.
Exactly. Not only must he be God, but he has to be a perfect human, physically and morally. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, Christ the Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know throughout the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices were a type of Christ. And the animal to be sacrificed had to be perfect physically.
Right.
Perfect physically, that's as far as the animals could go.
Right.
But the implication here is for the Messiah, he had to be perfect physically as well as morally.
No sin of his own, or he would have had to die for his own sin.
Right. Right. Well, in being sinless, let's look at some scriptures that tell us about that. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he, that is Jesus, the Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Hebrews 4:15, in all points tempted, talking about the Lord being tempted.
Tested. Can I just explain that
for
a minute? Because that confuses a lot of people. Jesus was not tempted in the way that you and I are tempted. I'd like to do that, but I won't.
Yeah, because he didn't have a fallen nature.
That's right. He was tested.
Mm-hmm.
He was presented with the opportunity to sin.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, the prince of this world has nothing in me. So there was nothing in him that would respond to this, but he was tested, okay?
Okay. We were talking earlier about the Antichrist. Now, that's not the thrust of this, but just to bring it up again, we're talking about the Antichrist. If somebody claims to be Christ, they have to be perfect physically, all right? Not only God, okay, because he's going to claim to be God, but he has to be perfect physically, yet without sin. There's a heavy criterion, okay? He has to be both God and man in order to pay the infinite penalty for sin. Isaiah 53:6. It was a wonderful time. We went through Isaiah 53. For those of you who didn't have some of the early programs or aren't in your area, I would recommend ordering some of those tapes because I was blessed by the discussion on Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This is the Son that is born into this world. The Scripture said so. The Old Testament as well as the New.
Right. But regarding him having to be God and man, which you just quoted, Isaiah 53:6 says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now you see, he has to be man to die, okay? But he has to be God to take on the iniquity of us all. I mean, for somebody who is lost, who's going to die for their own sins, that's the only capacity they have.
That's right. But Tom, the reason you're laying this out is because this is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So there's something that I've got to believe. If I don't believe it, I'm dishonoring God. I'm trying to climb up another way. So we're not just trying to split theological hairs.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to say, you know, this is what God says in his word. These are the standards that he's laid down. He has the right to do that. And he wants men to be saved. And Jesus wept in the garden, you know, if possible, let's do it some other way. It wasn't possible. So now I can't believe something false about Christ, about God, about the way of salvation. I have to believe what God has said. So that's why we're laying out.
Well, in a previous show, you talked over and over again about knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't know him unless you find out the truth about him.
Right.
I mean, or you have a false idea. You have a false idea. You have a belief in somebody who really doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem. So, you know, again, he has to be both man and God in order to pay the infinite penalty. Hebrews 2:9. And he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that all of us, or there may be few of us that understand this in a great way, but we do know that Jesus on the cross had to pay the full penalty for sin. And that full penalty is death, not just physical death, but separation from God forever.
Mm-hmm. And because he's infinite, he could do that, endure it on the cross.
Right.
I can't explain it, but I must believe that God is both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Therefore, he has paid the penalty, or there's no salvation.
Right.
I don't understand it, but this is what the Bible says, and I believe it, and I must.
You see, as finite beings, there are some things that God lays out for us to understand, because he's a reasonable God. I mean, there's a logic to this, but in terms of fully comprehending, I mean, how can anyone, and this will be our joy for all eternity, to understand that the creator of the universe died for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something, I mean, it isn't just wonderful in this temporal world as we think about it, but to understand and to grow in our understanding of that for all eternity, Dave.
Took the penalty that his own infinite justice required. And you were there in a debate I had a few months ago with a Catholic, you remember, and over and over.
Catholic apologist.
Right. And over, he said, Christ did not pay the penalty for our sins. His death.
Said, give me one verse. Just give me one verse.
His death appeased God, but he didn't pay the penalty for our sins. Appeased, that's a pagan term. You didn't just appease God, the penalty had to be paid, and this is what the Scripture teaches.
Right. Dave, not only does the Messiah, the Christ, did he have to fulfill all of these qualifications.
Right.
There were other biblical prophecies regarding the Savior of humanity. For example, in Romans 1:1-3, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Once again, Paul pointing out that the Scriptures, I mean, Jesus said this himself, and we quoted the verse with regard to Jesus with those he walked on the road to Emmaus, that they missed it. They didn't understand that he was the Messiah. They thought, oh, he died. He was crucified. Mm-hmm. He couldn't have been the Messiah.
Right.
But the Scriptures lay these things out. He had to be of the seed of David. There's one criterion. Seed of David according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm. He is a Jew. There were, you know, about 300 Old Testament prophecies that had to be fulfilled. And this is why Paul, when he explains the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he says, this is the gospel that I preached unto you, by which you are saved, wherein you stand. You keep in mind, you remember what I said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, and he was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is the great through four, he says, this is the Messiah, because he fulfilled what the prophets of God had laid out as the requirement for the Messiah. He fulfilled it to the letter, and if he did not, he's not the Savior, but he did, and he is the Savior. Now, why not believe in him? Why not accept the pardon that is offered on this basis, that God is so carefully laid out, he is so wonderfully fulfilled in himself becoming a man, mm-hmm. and paying the penalty for our sins. I mean, Tom, this is the most, you said it, all through eternity, this is the most fantastic thing, that God would love me that much, mm-hmm. that he would do this, mm-hmm. that he would not compromise his justice. He loves us, but he can't compromise his justice, and that he has done all that is required to be done by his own infinite laws. Mm-hmm. And he offers pardon as a free gift. That is so wonderful. I just pray that everyone listening, if they yeah. haven't believed, will believe this.
Right.
Because that's how we're saved.
And not because Justin Hunt is saying it
right.
or Tom McMahon.
Right.
I want to direct him to, you know, we refer to this, but I want to direct him to Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. I'll read it, but go to, you know, we talked about meditation. Scriptural meditation is to read these things. Take it into your heart and think upon these things. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus himself, with these mm-hmm. two on the road, mm-hmm. he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When you go to those words, and the Lord will open your heart if you do it with a heart that wants to know truth, and he'll mm-hmm. reveal these things to you. There they are in God's Word.
And we believe he that believes on the Son mm-hmm. has everlasting life, Jesus said.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion of salvation again next week. We hope you can tune in. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Our ministry makes available a wide selection of teaching materials, including books, tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and others. In a moment, we'll let you know how to order these and other materials, as well as a free subscription to our monthly newsletter. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 1129, and please mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Dave and Tom will resume their conversation on the occult invasion and the topic of children's entertainment. They will continue to explore God's salvation, and is today's Christian unity what Jesus had in mind? Plus, televising the second coming. Dave and Tom will look at those topics and examine the question, could you have the mark of the beast without knowing it? We hope you can be here. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you back again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.